what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as the mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Turn down, please. Yeah, that's better. Yeah. Okay, so welcome everybody.
Welcome. Thank you, Ajahn.
It's a small group, but anyways. So it's not the quantity, it's the quality, right? So it's good to see everybody. So we'll come here to just like refresh our memory on what meditation is about, really, because I think each and every one of us, we are well educated in the teachings of meditation, and you know, it's just sometimes different teachers give you like a different angle on how to approach the meditation practice, and today I was focusing a little bit on the breath meditation. That's something that everybody knows about, but I think that's something that monks from Bodhinyana don't really talk much about, because just growing up with Ajahn Brahm, I think when it came to like teaching the breath to his monks and to lay people, they find it very difficult to do. So instead, he teaches more of like developing the right attitude towards whatever is going on in the mind. So today I was like just like watching my breath and just seeing what is happening between the relationship with the mind and the breath. And I think one of the things that goes wrong when we're doing the breath meditation is that we're not fully committed to watching it. Yeah? So before we sit, we tell ourselves, okay, I'm going to watch the breath. So you do actually, like, you watch the breath, but not with like 100% of your mindfulness. You're sort of watching the breath with like 50% of your mindfulness. In a sense, you're there, but you're not really there. And I think after a while, if you're sharp enough, you can actually see that you're not fully there with the breath. And I think when one starts to develop like a more stronger mindfulness in their meditation practice, they can see the quality of the mind they're using to watch the breath. So when you're watching the breath with like 100% mindfulness, you can feel that you're actually engaging with the breath itself. And like every moment of the breath, your mind is there. And you get this sense and you get this feeling that your mindfulness is not wishy-washy, if you know what I mean. You're like, we're watching this, sometimes like what I'm trying to say is like we're watching the breath, but at the same time we're thinking about something else. Yeah, or we may not be thinking about much, but our minds is not really with the breath. And so that's something to watch for. It's how your mind is actually receiving that experience of the breath. And I think another thing that also is a helpful tool when it comes to the breath meditation is to have that reminder from time to time when you're doing the meditation. I was actually talking to one of the people about meditation, and he was telling me that when he meditated, a lot of times he would just forget about the object that he was watching. And he investigated and looked a little bit more deeper into why he couldn't sustain his mind on the breath. And he basically said that because he wasn't reminding himself enough. So just that reminder is very important. Because sometimes, like I've said before, you know, sometimes when you're meditating, it's like 5 minutes can feel like 20 minutes. So it's a long time, actually. You know, you're sitting there, nothing's happening. 2 minutes feels like 10 minutes. 5 minutes feels like an hour. It feels like you're back at school. So I think, you know, when you're meditating, every once in a while, maybe say every 5 minutes, just remind yourself, because I'm pretty sure that you'll forget to watch the breath. So just after 5 minutes, just remind yourself, okay, for this meditation, I'll be doing the breath meditation.
How do you know the 5 minutes is
left? But what I'm trying to say here is sometimes we get caught up in trying to remember the instructions, so we tend to overthink what we're supposed to be doing. So we'll be like, okay, watch the breath, and then 2 seconds later, watch the breath, and then 3 seconds later, watch the breath, and then before you know it, you're not watching the breath, you're just telling yourself to watch the breath. And that's not the objective of the practice. And I think after some time, when you watch the breath, you know, as a meditator, you start to understand that this simple object of just one thing is very calming and very peaceful. And I think one of the reasons why it's very peaceful is because we're just sitting down doing nothing. Yeah, we retired from the world of broken down air conditioning systems. We retired from the world of working a day job or sitting in front of the computer or reading a book. And we've come to something like just sitting down with our eyes closed, relaxing, doing nothing. And that in itself is a very peaceful thing. It's sort of like, you know, in nature, the things that move around are peaceful, but the things which are still, they're peaceful. That's why I haven't been to Ayers Rock, man. You know, when people go to Ayers Rock, it's just this big, huge rock, right? Big rock, so big, so massive, and impressive, because it's just this big, huge thing that doesn't move. Sort of represents some sort of like you know, peace and stillness. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing, you know, when we're sitting down. We're not moving, our limbs are still, our eyes are closed. We're just retiring our bodies for this like half an hour. Just being still, you know, it's a peaceful thing. And then I think your mind, you know, will follow suit. And just like that peacefulness and combined with the breath, it's just like, I think just the simplicity of just watching one thing can be quite, you know, quite a relief for your mind. Yeah. Just sitting down, in breath, out breath. It's so simple. Like you could say peacefulness is like found in simplicity. Just in and out. That's all it is. That's like very soothing, very relaxing. Just being able to just sit down mindfully in the moment without having too many thoughts come into your mind. And just having that one thing of attention is the breathing, just going in and going out. And another reason why the breath can be like a calm meditation object is because after a while, when your body is rested, when you've stopped running around, the breathing becomes very soft and very subtle. Yeah, it's like a gentle thing that you're watching, and that gentleness sort of like imbues your mind. You know, when like boxers, you know, they go in a ring and they punch each other. There's roughness, there's like aggroness, there's anger, and you're just like hurting somebody. But then if you go home and you have your cat or your dog, then you just like gentle, soft touch. And it's like relieving and soothing for the animal. And it's sort of like the breath, you know. The breath isn't like a rough object. It's not like you've run like 10 minutes or you walked up some stairs for some of us. That breath is really rough. Imagine trying to watch something like that, you know. It won't be peaceful, but when the body's calmed down and the breath is slowed down, you're watching something gentle, something smooth. Just imagine what kind of effect that has on your mind. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Alright, that's good enough. Yes, Bill?
Yeah, one question. I mean, there's all...
Yes, sir.
All ways of sort of doing breath meditation.
Yeah.
And some teachers recommend counting the breath, and there's all different ways of counting the breath. Do you recommend any of that, or...?
I've never done, like, counting the breath, because... yeah, because I don't have a really strong desire of like putting my attention on the breath. You know, if I watch it, I watch it. If I don't, I don't. But what's more important to me is to just basically just train the mind to go back to the breath more often. It's sort of like, you know, I hurt my back, and they say, you know, you try to engage your core muscles, so that your core supports your back, and I understand that. And I think over the last week, just like walking around the monastery and doing a little bit of work, I can ask myself, how many times, Santuda, have you engaged your core? Maybe two or three times out of the whole week. So the mind sort of like knows, like I know what to do to give myself a healthier back. But because I don't remind myself enough, I don't turn it into a habit. And it's sort of the same thing with the breath meditation. You may know the instructions, But you know, we are conditioned in a different way. We have our habits. But if we remind ourselves enough times, then it becomes a habit. Mm. Then we can do it more easy. It becomes a lot more easier for us to be able to watch it. Okay. So just allow your mind and your body to just settle down naturally. It's sort of like when you're going to bed, you want to switch everything off. In order to fall asleep, you have to switch your mind off and also switch your body off. But in meditation, we're switching the body off, but in a sense we're also trying to switch the mind off, but at the same time stay awake. So as you're sitting, you're just allowing the stillness of the moment to arise within your mind and your body. So when we're sitting in meditation, We're just keeping still. Not moving our bodies. And just allow the stillness of the body to influence the stillness of the mind. And all we're doing is just sitting here, just being with the moment. Every human being has the capacity to just be and experience life without any commentary, without any thought. And that's what the meditation is. Just experiencing life without any commentary. So when you're sitting here, things have settled down. Just be aware of what's happening now. Is there anything? I think there's only like two things happening now. There's the sounds, right, from nature. From the traffic, or maybe three things, and there's like the darkness and that you see behind your eyes, and also the third thing is the movement of the breath. So with these three things, you can turn your attention onto one thing and just turn it onto the breath. So you're just seeing the characteristics of the breath. If our bodies have settled down and quite relaxed, then the breathing can be quite subtle. The breathing is quite gentle. So as you're carefully watching the breath, you can start to notice that not every breath is different. Sometimes the breath is a little bit longer, sometimes a bit shorter. Sometimes a bit more shallower. Or you're breathing a little bit more harder. Characteristics of the breath is always different. to just remind yourself that you're doing the breath meditation. Having a clear intention of what you want to do when you meditate helps the mind stay more focused, more in tune to what you're meant to be doing when you're meditating. Sometimes we don't have that clear intention. Our mind is, we sort of meditate kind of like half-baked or just a wishy-washy mind. Yeah, you know, like coming, oh, I watched the breath, but after 2 minutes you're getting bored and you don't really do it, you're not really into it. You know, what am I doing here for thing? Just basically wasting time. So instead, you know, just have that little bit of clarity and purpose without, you know, without pushing yourself too hard, obviously. Just to remind yourself, you know, it's time to do the breath meditation. Wake up. Any comments or questions? Yes, Bob.
Ajahn Brahm tells us typically to focus on the tip of our nose where the air passes over the surface.
Yep. Does he?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Maybe he's saying it's special for us with big noses.
I remember many times when he instructed on how to watch the breath, it's always going with the feeling of the breath, because each and every one of us feels the breath in a different place. Some of us feel it on our nose or in our stomach or in our chest. Some of us can't breathe through our nose, so we have to use our mouth. So it's more of like the feeling of the breath that we're trying to engage our minds with. And I think what you've noticed when you're trying to attempt to do the breath meditation is that there's like two different types of breath that you're watching. One, the first breath is a breath that seems to be like the same over and over again. And the second breath is a breath which is different. You sort of notice the subtleties, like whether it's a long breath or a short breath or a heavy breath or a light breath. And what that means is like your mind is more engaged with the characteristics of the breath. So that's why you can see the differences from one breath to another, because your mind is engaged. But if your mind is sort of like disengaged and it thinks that it's still watching the breath, but the breath seems to be the same every time you're watching it, then the mind is not quite there. Yeah. Do you experience that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think what's happening is sort of like you're watching the breath, and it seems to be the same all the time, is because maybe your mind, it's just like the echoes of the instructions that's been given to you. Yeah. You think you're watching it, but you're not really watching. You're not really getting anything from it. And I think when you start to see the breath a little bit closer, and you see the movements and like just the calmness and stillness of the breath, you get more from it. Like there's a more sense of like a peace and like a stillness attached to it. Yeah. It actually feels good.
Mm. I found during that instead of reminding myself to watch the breath, different terminology, and reminding myself to meditate on the breath. Mm. And it did change that perception and the focus.
Yeah. It's kind of strange, like for me, like being like becoming a teacher now, and then there's like some words that monks from Bodhinyana Monastery we don't like to use,
mm-hmm.
like focus, concentration,
yeah.
and things like that. So yeah, sometimes I use those words because it sort of gives meaning to what you're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't actually mean like sometimes I say focus, and I mean like the hard focus that some people may use, which gives meditators a headache because they're forcing themselves too much, but more of like a focus, like a sustain, not even a sustain, but just like watching something mindfully, so your mind is like fully there.
So like being aware?
Aware, yeah. Aware. But I think just words sort of point you in a certain direction, but once you start to understand your own mind and how to meditate, then you go more with the experience and how you feel. Like meditation is supposed to make you feel good, and give you that sense of freedom and just a sense of ease, you know. Yeah. Just being on holiday for 30 minutes kind of thing, you know. Get it? Yeah, you just allow yourself like a half an hour holiday every day. That's pretty cool.
Turn
freedom to not have to do anything.
Yeah, it's a freedom. Yeah, exactly. It's a freedom. There is a sense of freedom. You don't have to. No dishes to wash, you know. You have kids, right? No kids to look after. No husband to think about.
So, before each meditation session, do you decide what you're going to meditate on? It's something that you plan for?
I don't know. It's different for me because I meditate all the time. We meditate like every day, and sort of sometimes we don't really, like for myself, I don't really give myself clear instructions.
Yeah.
It's just maybe it's my character, and I just sit down and I just like, what am I doing, you know? I'm just like wasting time, basically wasting time. But then it's good because you start to feel that you're not really getting anywhere, right? So then you have to do something about it. So that's when you start to, like, in a sense, give training to the mind again. Yeah, like, okay, give it clearer instructions, have, set your mindfulness onto something. Sort of like hitting the reset button and starting again. And I think that's, in a sense, once one starts to like have like frustrations or even blockages, that's an indicator that we're not doing something correct. Yeah, and then we can just sort of step back and just assess again. Okay, why am I moving forward as a meditator? What is going on? And then you try a different object or. Or, you know, when you start meditating again, you set up that mindfulness, you know, things like that.
It's quite nice having the flowers here today.
Yeah, we had a big ceremony yesterday in Katina, so. And,
it's quite fragrant.
Yeah. So many cars there, they were parked all the way down to 48 Stocker Road.
Oh, wow.
And not Stocker Road, Scott Road.
Yeah.
Lucky the cops went around. or the Shire, a big fine. Yeah, so we had a lot of flowers and whatnot around. So it was a nice ceremony. It wasn't too bad. So like celebrating the Katina. So every monastery, every Theravada monastery. Where there's monks living in, we'll have a Katina every year, and it's basically to give people an opportunity to make some merit. So when they come to a monastery, they bring food and give money donations to support the place, to, you know, pay for bills and building projects and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's the idea is, like, because the monks have been practicing for like 3 months. And they've gained in their practice, and some people think that it's they think the timing is right. Is a good time? Is the timing is right to give to the monks after they've been doing that kind of practice, because of the merit that they can make from it. Yeah. It is a merit. Like, making merit is a lovely like. Concept, I think, that everybody can like add to their lives, just basically just giving without expecting anything in return. Yeah, like volunteer work and you know things like that. It's just, I think it adds to a more healthier mind, a more beautiful mind. So that's something that you know, monks from Ajahn Brahm's tradition or whatever tradition, really, you know. Heavily recommend living a generous lifestyle. Yeah, not only virtuous, but generous as well. Yeah, it's easy to be virtuous, I think, for a lot of people, but it's hard to be generous. Okay, all right.
Bright light.
Chanting, please, Bob.
Read the goodness of from my practice.
May my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of heaven, may those who are friendly and different hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing. May all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, and the past is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my lovable Lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Yes, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Wouldn't that be lovely? All the darkness and delusion in our minds be dispelled.
Thank you, Ajahn.